Campus FM presents Classic Texts, produced by Vicky Spiteri, presented by Margaret Ajus.
Hello and welcome to Classic Texts. In this series of programmes, we shall be looking at a variety of English literature texts and their authors. We have also lined up a number of guests who'll be giving us short commentaries about the works in question. Today's choice is Edgar Allan Poe, and we'll be mostly, but not only, focusing on his most famous short story, The Fall of the House of Usher. Best known for his poems and short fiction, Edgar Allan Poe deserves more credit than any other writer for the transformation of the short story from anecdote to art. He virtually created the detective story and perfected the psychological thriller. He also produced some of the most influential literary criticism of his time, important theoretical statements on poetry and the short story, and has had a worldwide influence on literature.
For my own part, I have never had a thought which I could not set down in words with even more distinctness than that which I conceived it. There is, however, a class of fancies of exquisite delicacy which are not thoughts, and to which as yet I have found it absolutely impossible to adapt to language. These fancies arise in the soul, alas, how rarely, only at epochs of most intense tranquility, when the bodily and mental health are in perfection, and at those mere points of time where the confines of the waking world blend with the world of dreams. And so I captured this fancy, where all that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream.
This bridging music embed we are using is called A Dream Within a Dream by the Alan Parsons Project, taken from their debut album Tales of Mystery and the Imagination from the year 1976. This album was influenced by Poe's writing. We'll be using more music from this album throughout the program. But let's go on to a short biography. Edgar Allan Poe was born in 1809 in Boston. Both his parents died before he was 3 years old, and Edgar was taken into the family of John Allan, a successful merchant. After attending schools in England and Richmond, Poe registered at the University of Virginia in 1826. He became an active member of the Jefferson Literary Society and passed his courses with good grades. Poe, however, made debts of which his father did not approve. When Allan refused to let him return to the university, Poe was driven from home without money. Allan probably sent him a little money later, and Poe went to Boston. There he published a little volume of poetry, Tamerlane and Other Poems. In 1827, Poe enlisted in the U.S. Army. After 2 years of service, during which he was promoted to the rank of Sergeant Major, he secured a discharge from the army and went to Baltimore. He lived there with his aunt on small amounts of money sent by his foster father until he received an appointment to the United States Military Academy at West Point. Meanwhile, he published a second book of poetry in 1829, A La Ruff, Tamerlane and Minor Poems. After another quarrel with Allan, Poe stopped receiving aid. He then took the only method of release from the academy and got himself dismissed in 1831. Soon after, Poe left West Point, A third volume appeared, Poems by Edgar Allan Poe, second edition. While living in Baltimore, he began writing prose tales, and five of these appeared in the Philadelphia Saturday Courier in 1832. With the December issue of 1835, Poe began editing the Southern Literary Messenger for Thomas W. White in Richmond, a position he held for a year. During this time, Poe married his cousin, Virginia Clemm, in Richmond on Monday 16th, 1836. Virginia was not yet 14. This music track is the intermezzo from The Fall of the House of Usher by the Alan Parsons Project. In 1838, he went to Philadelphia, where he lived for 6 years. He was editor of Burton's Gentleman's Magazine and of Graham's Magazine in 1842. In 1844, with Burley Carfare for his family, Poe went to New York, where he found work on the New York Evening Mirror. In 1840, Poe's Tales of the Grotesque and Arabesque was published in 2 volumes in Philadelphia. In 1845, Poe became famous with the spectacular success of his poem The Raven, and in March of that year, he joined C.F. Briggs in an effort to publish The Broadway Journal. Also in 1845, Wiley and Putnam issued Tales by Edgar A. Poe and The Raven and Other Poems. The year 1846 was a tragic one. Poe rented the little cottage at Fordham, where he lived the last 3 years of his life. The Broadway Journal failed, and Virginia became very ill and died in January 1847. After his wife's death, Poe yielded more often to drink. He was unable to take even a little alcohol without a change of personality, and any excess was accompanied by physical prostration. Throughout his life, those illnesses had interfered with his success as an editor and had given him a reputation for intemperateness that he scarcely deserved. The circumstances of Poe's death remain a mystery. After a visit to Norfolk and Richmond for lectures, he was found in Baltimore in a pitiable condition and taken unconscious to hospital, where he died on October 7, 1849. He was buried in the yard of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Baltimore, Maryland. This music track is The Arrival at the House of Usher by the Alan Parsons Project. With us today to give us a short commentary on the fall of the House of Usher is Dr. Gloria Lauri Lucente from the Department of Italian at the University of Malta. Now, how is this short story representative of the themes in Poe's work? Poe showed a concern with, among others, the dissolution of the mind, the relationship between mind and matter, the nature of death, the fear of fear, love and its conqueror, pride, beauty, death, the supernatural. What is this symbolism used in the fall of the House of Usher?
One of the dominant motifs of Edgar Allan Poe's carefully wrought tale, The Fall of the House of Usher, has to do with mirroring, specularity, and doubling. As the literary critic Scott Peoples observes, the list of paired characters, events, places, and objects that can be regarded as doubles for their more than coincidental resemblance testifies to the density of Poe's construction. The twins, Roderick and Madeline, Roderick and the narrator, who eventually becomes infected by his friend's condition, Roderick's abstract but vault-like painting, and the vault where Madeline is buried, the haunted palace, and the fall of the House of Usher. Then there is the house, which is doubled or reflected in the tarn, but also reflected in the double meaning of house, referring to the family as well as their dwelling, and more specifically reflected in Roderick, whose poem likens the palace to its master. Or, if the story is a kind of dream or psychological journey of the narrator, the house may express the psyche of the narrator. Taking our cue from the description given by Peoples of the house as the expression of the psyche of the narrator, one can read the Usher mention as a magnificent but also solitary and decaying residence that mirrors and therefore becomes symbolic of the decaying and dying condition of its principal inhabitants, Roderick and his spectral twin sister, Madeline Usher, two characters that mirror and duplicate each other. At the same time, Roderick can also be interpreted as the narrator's alter ego, an alter ego which leads the narrator into the most conflictual and tormented inner recesses of the self. Thus construed, Usher represents the unconscious part of the narrator's consciousness. Within this general interpretative framework, the fall of the House of Usher can be read primarily as a fable on the locus of selfhood and the psychic space it inhabits. To use Daniel Hoffman's words, Poe's tale is a fable of the soul acting independently insofar as it can, insofar as it must, of mind, and struggling as best it can to be free, or in the end, to become free of the body. Roderick's premature entombment of his sister Madeline can also be read in the key of the separation of mind and body, as well as that of consciousness and unconsciousness. Poe himself wrote that the death of a beautiful woman is, unquestionably, the most poetical topic in the world. Much can be said about Poe's necrophilic obsession with what he perceives as sublime in the death of female figures. Interestingly enough, although recent feminist readings have focused on the proliferation of violently silenced women in Poe's fiction, the theme of regeneration after death has been somewhat overlooked, with the exception of such readings as those by Gillian Brown in her essay The Poetics of Extinction, in which she reads the return of women who haunt their partners as the embodiment of a principle of preservation, as the attempt to safeguard the consciousness in which they figure as memories and thus as poetic subjects. Could it be, as Brown suggests, that when Madeline emerges from her premature entombment to reveal her brother's murderous mistake and also literally scare him to death through fear, that Poe is expressing an uncertainty, both hopeful and horrific, about death?
I just wanted to say goodbye.
Shall I prepare some breakfast before you leave, sir?
No, thank you.
Some coffee, then?
Yes, a little bit.
Very good, sir. Shall I serve it in the...
No, I'll take it here.
You look tired, sir.
I don't suppose any of us slept much last night.
No, sir.
Bristol?
Yes, sir.
Do you think it was my coming that caused Miss Madeline?
Oh, no, sir. Not at all. Miss Madeline was not well.
Her brother thinks I killed her.
It's just that he's highly overwrought, sir.
Yes. Thank you for the coffee.
You're welcome, sir. Don't recriminate yourself, Mr. Winthrop. Miss Madeline's passing was not your fault. She was very weak, poor child. It was the Usher blood. There's been such a history of illness in the family. What with heart ailments, nervous diseases, and the like, sir. Miss Madeline was...
What did you say?
Sir?
You said catalepsies?
Did I, sir?
Madeline subject to cataleptic trances?
Oh, no, sir. Not Miss Madeline.
The truth.
No, sir.
Why, sir?
No, sir.
That's why Mr. Usher wanted her put in the crypt so soon.
Oh, no, Mr. Winthrop.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, you're wrong, sir. You're wrong.
The voice clip you have just listened to is from the 1960 version of The Fall of the House of Usher, directed by Roger Corman. Corman is a well-known director, producer, who has done many variations on Poe themes. There are a number of other films based on Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher, an American 1929 version directed by James Watson and Melville Webber, another 1929 French-American version directed by Jean Epstein and adapted by Louis Bunuel, and the 1981 Czech version directed by Jan Zvankmajer. In addition, three TV film versions of the story exist, along with the film The Raven, with Vincent Price and Boris Karloff. Edgar Allan Poe is the undisputed master of the horror genre, his work exploring the darker side of human nature and the extreme states of consciousness and insanity. He also regarded himself as a critic, praising Charles Dickens and some of his peers, whilst at the same time writing devastating reviews of popular contemporary authors. This love-hate relationship is also characteristic of many of Poe's personal letters. Poe's literary accomplishments in poetry, short stories and novels are undisputed. His best-known poetic work, The Raven, is probably the best American poem ever written, and is undoubtedly the most famous. Little is known about his scientific writings, especially in areas related to cosmology, ideas condensed in one of his final works, Eureka. To give us a short explanation of what Eureka is all about, with us is Dr. Charles Sherry from the Department of Pharmacy, University of Malta.
In Eureka, Edgar Allan Poe sought to unite the religious and poetic imagination with the physics of Isaac Newton and the cosmic theories put forward by Pierre Laplace in late 18th century. However, in Poe's Eureka, the approach is not mathematical or analytical. Like William Blake, a contemporary artist and writer, Poe's scientific ideas about the universe are more philosophical and spiritual. Indeed, Eureka was criticized by many, denouncing it as pantheistic, identifying God with the universe, the belief of God being all and all being God. Many question whether Poe was really serious about the scientific ideas that are expressed in Eureka. He called it a prose poem and seriously believed that it contained the answer to all the big questions, the ultimate scientific theory of everything. However, he should have realized at the time that this work could never be taken seriously by the scientific community, certainly not in the Newtonian mathematical sense. Probably this is why he wanted it to be regarded just as a poem, a romantic view of the truth. Nevertheless, it contains interesting passages and suggestions of ideas that came into mainstream science decades after Poe's death, especially in the realm of cosmic theory. Indeed, what is fascinating about Eureka is that some of the scientific speculations contained in it hold up surprisingly well. Poe partially anticipated James Maxwell's unified electromagnetic field theory, which linked electricity and magnetism together, and also argued in favor of a space-time connection and the identity of mass and energy, all theories which were later suggested eventually by Albert Einstein in his relativity work. Poe also offers a Big Bang-like account for the formation of the visible universe. However, despite the plausibility of his ideas, Eureka is also a self-proclaimed work, explaining Poe's personal theology and spiritual beliefs. Poe views a God that created the universe in order to scatter his whole being to the expanding void. He believed that this universe would not expand forever, because its intelligent creatures eventually become aware of their identity with God and will unite the divine being concentrated self. This was much in line with the theory of passionate attraction put forward by the utopian socialist Charles Fourier, in which passions attract us to our destiny in a fashion analogous to gravity. Poe claimed that passional attraction was the principle underlying gravitational attraction as proposed by Isaac Newton. The idea that separated bodies have the tendency to return to unity may also relate to Poe's life. Orphaned at the age of 2 and separated from his brother and sister, Eureka probably reveals the true nature of Poe's inner self. Although it would be far-fetched to regard this work as a conscious allegory, it is clear that the scientific ideas presented are deeply grounded in Poe's spiritual and emotional needs and views. In this regard, Eureka probably presents us with a small window between the real and imagined, so tactically combined in most of his psychological horror novels for which Poe is most remembered.
Credits for this program go to the website of the Poe Museum in Richmond, Virginia, the website www.houseoffisher.net, and the AV Library at the Centre for Communications Technology, University of Malta. We hope you have enjoyed listening to this program. Join us next week for another classic text.
You have just listened to Classic Texts, produced by Vicky Spiteri, presented by Margaret Ajus.